Now, we're still in discipleship and training. Pastor Colin, first of all, thank you last week for keeping that message down to 10 minutes. I really appreciate it. Good what? And so, Pastor Colin, thank you for filling in for me last week. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's okay. I wasn't sure when you heard Colin, you want me back. I was kind of anxious about that, but here I am. You're stuck with me anyhow, so get over it. So we're in discipleship and training. Who still wants to be a disciple? You still want to be a disciple? But I told you, being a disciple takes what? Discipline. It takes discipline to be a disciple. And I want you to know that I practiced discipline on vacation. I practiced it. I'm a guy. And how many guys know that when you know you can get home from Myrtle Beach in 10 hours, how many know I want to do it in 9 hours and 45 minutes? See, all the guys going, yeah, that's me. Right, that's me. Come on, man. My GPS says 10 hours and 5 minutes from Myrtle Beach to my front door. I'm thinking, I can do this in 9 hours and 55 minutes. I can do it. But Desiree and James and baby James wanted to follow us all the way home. Changing diapers. Had to eat. Had to take time. And I had to practice whitey discipline. Because I got a phone call from my daughter Desiree. Said, James wants to eat now. Okay. Okay. You want to go to McDonald's? No, we don't eat at McDonald's. How about Wendy's? Oh, Wendy's is good. You want to go to the drive-thru? Oh, no, we can't go to the drive-thru. And I had to sit in Wendy's while baby James played with his chicken nuggets and his ketchup. How many guys feel my pain? You're feeling my pain. Pappy, you want to play, Pappy? Not really. And then baby James had me walking around the parking lot looking at all the motorcycles. And I finally figured out, you know what? What's more important than getting home in 9 hours and 55 minutes? Is chilling out. Amen. Knock it off. Yeah. Quit being a stupid guy. Be a grandfather for a while. How many understand that too? And that takes discipline. It takes discipline to be able to say to yourself, hey, it ain't about you. Knock it off. Enjoy your family. Just knock it off. How many understand that? It takes discipline to be a disciple. And so it was dinner time. This time I called my daughter on the phone. I said, hey, how's baby James doing? Is he hungry? You know what? He just woke up. I said, put him on the phone. He's 18 months. Hey, Babby. Are you hungry? Yeah. You want to eat? Yeah. Where you want to go? Wendy's. I found me a Wendy's. You know what I said? Take all the time you want. You know how many? You know, it took me 12 hours to get home from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And you know what? It's okay. Because it takes what? Discipline to be a disciple. Remember what I told you. It ain't about you. You are not the most important person on the face of this earth. The person next to you is. And so however it is, we take discipline to be a disciple. Discipline to be a disciple. How much discipline does it take to attend a church service? None. Put gas in your car. Get a shower if that's what you do the morning after or the night before. Put your clothes on and what? Get to the church. But how much effort does it take to go home? None. A disciple, however, takes discipline how many hours a day? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's a disciple. And I want to let you know, of course we want to grow Faith Community Christian Church according to His plan. But we cannot grow the church with new members until we grow the members that's in the already church. Amen. You cannot grow from the outside, you got to grow from the inside. How many understand that? We will not grow outside until we grow inside. And for our visitors who might not know this prayer, we'd have stayed here and prayed all day. We would have done that. Because prayer is important. Tell me, understand that. I'm serious. I want to preach a single message if we kept praying here till 11:45. We just said, service is over. And if we still pray, we go outside. Prayer is important. It's not an interruption of our service. It is the purpose of it. How many agree with that? All right. And so we're learning today how to pray. And I've been telling you about prayer. And now we're going to talk about, okay, who do we pray for? Who? Now, I'm going to give you a list, and you want to write them down. And I'm going to give you a plan. And what we're going to do in Faith Community Christian Church is we're going to be prayer warriors. Everybody in this church is going to pray every day. How many are agreeing to do that? And I don't mean, now I lay me down to sleep. Fact of the matter is, you know where that prayer came from? Let me. How many know this prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my if I shall die before I pray the Lord. How many loved that prayer when you were growing up? That came from the bubonic plague. Oh yeah. That came from the black plague. When everybody's dying, they would all pray before they go to bed because they might not wake up in the morning. They would pray that way. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Because they were dying in their sleep from the bubonic plague. That's where that prayer came from. Isn't that a nice little happy prayer? And I taught you that ring around the rosy. I taught you that. You know where that came from, right? Oh, that's a cool one too. Ring around the rosy. What that was, when you got the bubonic plague, you had circular patches on your skin. A ring around the rosy. That meant you had the bubonic plague. A pocket full of posies. Because back then they didn't embalm you. And when you died, they stuck flowers in your pockets to be able to get away from the stench. Yeah. A ring around the rosy, a pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, because guess what they did to you when you died? It burned your body. We all fall. And that didn't mean we fall down. It means we what? We died. Isn't that a nice little nursery rhyme? That's a happy little one, isn't it? Let's all play together. Ring around the rosy.
Gotta hand it to the English.
But today, we're going to learn for whom to pray. I taught you characteristics of prayer that was acceptable. I taught you characteristics of prayer that was unacceptable. I taught you the manner of prayer. I taught you with whom to pray. I taught you when to pray. Today, in our discipleship training, we now move into who do we pray for? Turn in your Bibles, please. And for our visitors who might not, been here before, we're a Bible preaching church. We believe that if it's not in the Bible, we ain't preaching it. We're not a current events kind of pastors here. We don't really care about the hurricane that's down in Florida. Hurricanes are hurricanes. They do what they do. We preach from the Bible. And so the way that we do this is, I tell you what passage of Scripture, you look it up. At the same time, my good friend Mickey is going to read it for you. And the reason we do that, twofold. One is you might not really looked it up and trying to trick me. And so I make sure she's going to read it, so at least you're going to hear it. You know, especially when you get like Habakkuk, you go, where's Habakkuk? And so she reads it. The second reason I do this is because hopefully you're looking at it, you're reading it, and you're hearing it, and the idea is it's going to what? Stick. That's the idea, okay? And so turn into your Bibles, please. And we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And you'll know this by heart, I'm sure.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us this day our daily bread. So who's the first entity you pray for? Yourself. And guess who the most hardest person is to pray for?
Yourself.
Isn't that crazy? Fact is, I know people, well-meaning people, that will say to me, you know what? I can pray for others. I have a real hard time praying for myself. How many have that same kind of feeling sometimes? It's kind of like, I feel so selfish. I feel kind of icky praying for myself when there are so many others that need help. Anybody feel that way sometimes? And I feel so self-centered. You know, I feel something just feels wrong about that. Well, no, there's something very right about that. And I want you to remember this example. When you're on an airplane, and the we don't call them stewardesses anymore, flight attendant person is giving the directions, right? And they talk about that mask thing. And they have the mask in their hand. They say the mask is going to drop down, pull on the cord, take the mask, and put it on your small child first.
No, they don't.
But wait a second. You have your small child with you. And your child is gasping for air. Don't you want to put it on your child first? Well, how many? No. But how many want to do that? That's what you want to do, right? If you got three kids there, what your instinct is to what? Put it on the kids first. Well, that's absolutely the worst possible thing you could attempt to do. Why? Because if you pass out, how much help are you going to give to them? None. Zero. Zip. And so the stewardess is going to say to you what? Put the mask on you first so that you are strong, you are well, you are cognitive so that you can now what? Help others. Same concept. If you are ill and you are sick and you are anxiety racked or whatever, how much help are you to anybody else? None. Because who are you concentrating on? You. You're concentrating on you. Now, I'm certainly not asking you that you should pray for millions of dollars like the one man who said to the Lord one day he wanted to win the $1 million lottery. And he prayed unto the Lord. He said, Lord, please let me win the Powerball. And the next day he did not win. And he thought, well, the reason certainly was is because I was not praying fervently enough. And so this time he went into, Lord, it's me. And Lord, the Powerball is $129 million. And Lord, you know I need that money. So Lord, please let me win. And the next day, he lost. And the third day, he said, I must not have been praying fervently enough. So this time he got on his knees. Lord, it's me. If you let me win the Powerball, I will give half the money to the local church, and I will build them a building, and I will name it for you if you only let me win. And this time, a booming voice came down from heaven and said, okay, but you got to buy a ticket. And so what happens with a lot of us in life is we don't want to buy a ticket. We want the Lord God to do what? Everything. And for us to do what? Nothing. We don't want to do anything. Just sit back and let the Lord bless you. Pour out your blessings, Lord. I send in my $25. I got my prayer shawl. I had to go there. I send in my seed money, Lord. I know you want me to have a Cadillac. No, he doesn't. He wants you to be blessed from the inside out, not from the outside in. You can be blessed if you have a bus pass. You don't have to drive a Lincoln Continental. Get over yourself. If you got money in the bank and food in the fridge, you are wealthy. How many understand that? And so the Lord God says, hey, you got a part to play. You got a part to play. Don't be asking for everything. Lord, bless my 401k that I'll have many, many dollars in it when I retire. No. Bless me for what? Today. I'm not worried about 55 years down the road. Just give me what I need for what? Today. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, when they had the lantern back then, was it one of those 50 billion million candle watt super duper neon? No, it was a little lantern. A lamp unto my feet. How much light did it pass out? Just enough for what? One step. Not 25 miles down the road into the deer's headlight lights. No, a lamp unto my feet for what? One step at a time. I can't take 25 steps if I can't get past the first one. Right? Lord, give me what I need for what? Today. Tomorrow's got enough problems of its own. Help me understand that. Pray for your daily needs. Turn your Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Anybody in this room worried about tomorrow already? Okay, thank you. Thank you for being honest. But I got to tell you something real important. You may not have tomorrow, so don't worry about it. True? Pastor Ed, confirm it. How many of you are guaranteed tomorrow? Not even an hour. Tomorrow? You worry about tomorrow? Why? You know what? Let's just be thankful we got 11:30. I'm already worried about it because I got a lot more to preach here. And I'm looking at the clock manager back there. I got 10 more to go, Bob. I'm only on number one. And what I told you, Pastor Carl, you can't get that in 20 minutes and it ain't worth preaching. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 12.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
How about that? So you pray for yourself for two reasons. The first reason that you pray for yourself is that your daily needs are being met. Food, shelter, of course those things. But the second thing that you pray for is spiritual growth. Maturity in Christ. Understanding of His Word. And most of us don't pray for that. We pray for, you know, our illnesses and our diseases and our relationships. And it's right and proper that we do. It's right and proper that we do. But the second thing you should be praying for when it comes to self is pray for a deeper understanding of Christ, a deeper understanding of His Word, a deeper understanding of let this come alive in me. And I told you before, and it's worth me telling you again, Satan is not concerned about everybody, every brother and sister in this room, about Katie getting up. He's not concerned about her reading the Bible. What he's concerned about is that the Bible gets in you. That's a bother to him. When this gets in you, he's got a problem. Help me understand that. Let's go back to my example. Thank you, Susie. Let's go back to my example. I'm with my little grandson, James, and my little grandson, Jonah. Jonah's 3. James is 18 months. And they want to hang around with guess who? Pappy. And they got it figured out. They got it figured out. That when they ask their mommy for a cookie, and she says no, they got it figured out. They sneak, Pappy, cookie? Oh, sure, you want to? They got it figured out. They got it figured out. And they'll run up and they grab my fingers, right, and they want me to pick them up and all kinds of stuff. But here's my deal. Here's my deal. I'm driving home from Myrtle Beach. I'm a guy. Haven't figured that out yet. I'm a guy. And I'm on that 9 hours and 55 minute clock. I'm a guy. I'm not apologizing. I was born that way. It's my mother's fault. No, it's my dad's fault, really. My dad's fault. Lori confirmed it. And I'm sitting there with my little grandson. And he wants Pappy to sit next to him. At Wendy's. He's in his little high chair thing, right? He's in his high chair thing. And I'm sitting there next to my grandson. Like this, and he's sitting right there, right? And he's talking to me. He's got a little ray gun I bought him, right? And I'm sitting there, and Sissy's over there, and Jane, Big Jane and Desiree, and I'm kind of like this. I'm being serious. Hey, sometimes the best examples is true life, right? How many guys understand that? You understand that, right? I'm going like this. Because I know I got to get home. I got to prepare. I'm doing all the driving. I thought about asking Sissy to drive and looked up. She's going. I figured, not a good choice. I better drive. How many guys understand that too, right? But not a good choice. Not a good choice. I said, Sissy, you okay? She said, oh, my neck hurts. I said, no wonder. So, and I want to get home. I'm figuring if I get home by, you know, nine, right? And James is, you know, talking to me. And I had it figured out. I got two lessons here to teach this little boy from his grandfather he wants to spend time with. I got two possible lessons. Two possible lessons. Right? Lesson number one. Come on, guys, we got to go. We got to go. I got to get home. Let's go. That's lesson one, which he will learn because I learned it. How many guys learned it? I learned it. But here's lesson two. You take your time, honey. We're in no hurry here. We're in no hurry here. You take your time. Pappy motorcycle. Oh, I see it. Yeah, I see it. Can you show me a motorcycle? You bet. You bet. And then there was cows on the hill. We had to see the cows. Yeah, we had to go see the cows. We had to see the motorcycle. Had to touch the helmet. I'm serious. He does it. Pappy, hold you. That means he wants me to hold. Pappy, hold you. Pappy, hold you. I said, you betcha, honey, I'll hold you. You betcha, I'll hold you. And what lesson you want to teach? You see, that's spiritual growth. In younger days, oh, that ain't happening. I'm serious. There was no spiritual growth in younger days. I went to church. But nothing but spiritual growth. We got to go. We got to go. How many understand that? That's when you're a church attendee. You see, how many of you right now are older and wiser based certainly just upon chronological age? I am older and I am wiser based upon chronological age. How many agree with that statement? I see things differently today than I did when I was in my 20s or 30s. Anybody agree with that statement? Same deal with God. Same deal. When you grow in His Word and you grow with Him spiritually, you see life differently. You see things through His eyes. Amy Grant sang a song, "Let me have my Father's eyes so that I may see the good in all things." To see the good in all things. You know, when I put little baby James in the car, the second trip at Wendy's, it was like 7 o'clock last night. We were down in Clarksburg, West Virginia. He said, "Pappy, go with you. Go with you, Pappy." I said, "Honey, I have no room." He cried, "I want to go with you, Pappy. I want to go with you, Pappy." And Jonah, little Jonah, he's 3, and we left Myrtle Beach. He said, "Pappy, I ride with you." And he wasn't thinking that the house that we stayed in was not our house. Because what he said to me, "Can I stay in your new house with you?" I said, "It's not my new house. I want to stay with you, Pappy." I'd rather have my two grandsons say that to me and say, "Dad, I got to get away from him. I got to get away from that loud mouth, screaming, obnoxious human being." How many understand that? Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Do you pray for yourself, for your daily needs to be met, and at the same time, pray for spiritual growth, and to pray that you become more Christ-like? A lot less of us, and a lot more of Him. Do you understand that? How many of you know there has to be a whole lot less of us? On any one given day, how many of you say, "Lord, hope I stay home from work today, you show up"? True? How many of us could brighten up a party by going home early? It's true. A lot less of us and a lot more of Him. Now, tomorrow morning, I have a question for you. How many of you are going someplace to work outside the home tomorrow morning? Who's going someplace to work? But here's my question for you. Who's showing up? That's the question. Who's showing up? Is it you or is it Christ? Is it you or is it Christ? Now you think about it. You have two options. How many of you know people that walk into a building and go, oh my God, I got to find something to do? How many know people like that? Eric? You see somebody come and go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I hope that person's not you. I hope that person's not you. Because two people can show up. You or Christ. You or Christ. I have this habit of sending out emails to people. These guys know this. We have a secretary in each of the buildings. I'm not telling you this to be braggadocious. Don't think about that. I'm not telling you this. But they send us out morning minutes from the meetings that these guys go to. Morning minutes. They send them out to everybody on this interdisciplinary team which I'm on. Right? That's what the secretary does. I mean, she sits there, she answers the phone. She greets people as they come in. You guys understand that? That's what she does. And then the manager hands her this paper and says, here, send this to everybody. And I get it. You know what? I send it back. Oh, man, thank you so much. Man, you really got a handle on that. Thank you so much. And I get an email back. Oh, thank you for noticing. Oh, no, I notice. Man, you thank you so much. Thank you so much. We got this person where we work. They bring in red folders. The red folder time. It's a new person. It's like, you know, it takes forever. And we get these red folders. And they send the emails. I'm bringing in two red folders. You know what I say? Oh, man. Oh, my grandkids are thanking you. It's job security. Thank you. It's making a difference in somebody else's life. Not making a difference in your life. Do you understand that if you can help people be successful, you will be successful? Did you know that if you can lift somebody up, God will lift you up? Do you understand that whenever you're helping somebody else, God notices that and He'll take care of you? See, when you make it all about you, guess who it's all about? You. And God says, hey, have a nice day. You guys don't need me. Should you pray for yourself?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pray for your daily needs and pray for your spiritual growth. Let's do one more very quickly before he pulls the plug on me. I'm already nervous. Ephesians 6:4.
And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Yeah. The second grouping of people that you're going to pray for is your family. Your family. You pray for your parents, for your spouses, for your sibling, for your children. You pray for them. You pray for them. And the prayer doesn't go like this. Lord, change my wife. Lord, if you could just help her see the error of her ways. Lord, God, only you can help her. I've tried all these years. And she just isn't getting it. And if she could just see things my way, and if she could just do the things I ask her to do, oh, how much life would be better. Now, I know without going any further, some of you probably prayed that kind of way. Lord, God help me. Like the song says, I never break my promise or forget my vow. But God only knows. It's from the prophet Meatloaf. The prophet Meatloaf who wrote, oh, it's true. He wrote a prophetic word. Lord, I never forget my promise or forget my vow. But God only knows I could do it right now. Because if I got to spend another minute with you, I don't think I could barely survive. And I know that some of you have kind of prayed that way. And that's not how you pray for your spouse. Is it? No. And because I'm going to run out of time, and I have so much more prophetic words to give. Like the prophetic word, when a man loves a woman. We'll get into that next week. I don't want to open up that can right now. I don't want to open it up. But there's prophetic words coming. I'm telling you right now, when a man loves a woman, there ain't nothing else on here. Anybody know the prophet that wrote that?
Percy
Sledge. Yeah, baby. That's next week. Come back. You're going to miss it. Let's pray for ourselves right now, Father God. There are many of us in this room right now that we need a heaping helping of your blessing today, Lord. And Lord, we are not going to pray for what happens tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day. We're just going to pray for today. Lord, wherever it is in our lives that we need for today, we ask for you to be our provider God, our Jehovah Jireh. Provide for us what we need for this day. Just this day. For Lord, tomorrow we'll have enough problems of its own. What we need today is not only food to nurture our bodies, because we do. Water to drink, a place to go. But Lord, we also need to have companionship. We need, Lord, to be around those who we love and those who love us. And Lord, wherever that relationship may be broken, for whatever it is our part, we ask you to forgive us. Help us to make a difference, Lord. And we pray, Lord, today for a deeper understanding of your word, that it comes alive in every one of us. That we may even for the first time be opening up your word and it's coming alive. Not the first time we read it, but the first time it's coming alive in our lives, Lord. And we thank you for that. Help us to grow in our walk with you. Lord, belonging to a church gets us a box of envelopes. That's it. It may even get our name in a church directory. But belonging to your church gets us eternal gifts. Help us, Lord, for the rest of today to be a lot less like us and a whole lot more like you. And all of God's people said, amen.